Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word and that you have preserved it so that we today have it, so that we can read it and study it, and Lord, that we can have it to apply to our lives so that we could know the way of truth in Christ, so that we can know how we should live. And so, Father, I pray even as we look into your word this morning that it'll be our desire to learn from your word, to apply it to our lives, and Lord, that we would then be able to walk in your ways. So we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are familiar with geocaching? Okay, a couple of you, not too many. Geocaching is an outdoor activity that a lot of people actually, whether you are involved in it or not, actually a lot of people are. And that's, you have the app, the geocache app, and you can use your phone, and you can look up where these different treasures are in your area that are called geocaches, and it gives you the coordinates, and then you can go try to find them. And they are located in all kinds of different places. Here's one where that's located in a tree. And it's just a little container that has some information in it. If you get to find it, you can open it up and you can sign it and say, I found the treasure. And it's quite popular. My son and daughter-in-law are really into it whenever we would visit them in the Indianapolis area, and we were going somewhere, they would always say, oh, there's a geocache on the way. Let's stop and see if we can find it. And they really racked up the points for their geocaching, and maybe something you would enjoy doing at some point in time. As fun as engaging as geocaching is, or other treasure hunts that maybe you enjoy being on, today we are going to talk about a search of greatest value, better than any other treasure search you could possibly be on, and hopefully you would be convinced of that by the end of our time here. But if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 2 in your Bibles, hopefully you got a handout as you came in that just gives a little outline of what we're covering today. But Proverbs 2 is from the genre of literature, of wisdom literature. It's written by King Solomon. It's one of the early chapters in the book of Proverbs where the father is giving lessons to his son. So Solomon is giving lessons probably to Rehoboam here, and he's urging his son to pay attention to his words. And the father speaks authoritatively of his words, which in this context he's going to equate with the wisdom that proceeds from God himself. So these are God's words, which we have now preserved for us in the Word of God. And it's interesting to note the structure of this chapter, because it's one long sentence in Hebrew. So you start with in verse 1 with the if. My son, if you receive. And then in verse 5, if you do this, then this is what will happen. In verse 9, another then sentence or statement. And then we come to verse 12, where it's going to say, if you do this, then this, it will then deliver you from, verse 12. And then verse 16, another deliverance that will take place. And then it concludes in verses 20 to 22, so you will. And so this is the flow of this chapter. So we come to verses 1 to 4, where it talks about the if, the search that should take place. And it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. the search. Notice there's 8 different verbs that are used in these 4 verses to highlight the type of search for God's wisdom that should be taking place. It talks about receiving my words. In other words, it's being offered, but you need to receive it. You need to take them. And then it talks about treasuring up my commandments. In other words, there's a value that you place on God's wisdom, the commandments, and you treasure them. And then it says to make your ear attentive to wisdom. Some of us are old enough to know that little saying, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people... Yes, some of you didn't want to say it because you don't want to admit that you're that old. But yes, here, when God's wisdom speaks, people listen. They incline their ear to what God is saying. That's what Solomon is instructing his son to do. And then it says, yes, if you call out for insight. In other words, help, I need guidance, I need wisdom. It's something you call out for. It's something in verse 3, you raise your voice for understanding. There's an urgency there. And then it says that you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures or buried treasures. Something much better than geocaching or anything else. But there's a value there that you will put effort. Just as if we said that for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, there's $1 million in this room. You just have to find it. And we would probably maybe give a little effort to that. Well, here, God's wisdom is being given to us, and we are to seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Now, as you look at these 4 verses, do you get the impression that Solomon is implying that you have to put some effort into this? And hopefully we would say yes. You know, there's companies today that all they do is search for hidden treasures. Gold diggers, ship finders. And here we're seeing that we need to make an active and determined effort to become acquainted with wisdom, to find it. That we should give ourselves to the quest for this eternal treasure, the wisdom that can only be found in the Word of God. So the implication is, if you want this, then you have to go after it. You have to pursue it. You don't just become wise in God's ways by accident. It's something that we have to pursue. And if you don't search for it, well then, don't expect to receive it. It's something that we have to treasure and value and go after. And so we have to ask the question, how much do you want it? How much do we want the wisdom of God that He offers to us through His Word? Reading the Word of God, listening to it, church attendance where we can study it and talk about it together, memorizing the Word of God, trying to get to that point where our life is continually put through the Bible filter, so to say. As we make decisions in life, the first thing that we think about is, what does the Bible say? What is God's wisdom about that, about this? Because learning God's wisdom is a process. It has to be internalized. And if it is, it will change how I think about things, what I do. And it will also impact the advice and counsel that I give to others, because it will be based on God's Word. So, if I will treasure God's wisdom and words to the point that I will seek diligently for it, then we see the treasure that we can realize. And let me read verses 5 to 11. It says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then," second then statement, Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. So if you will pursue, search after the treasure of wisdom, then it says the first thing is that you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Back in Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what is fear? A lot of different ideas about that, but fear is definitely treating God with the reverence and obedience that He deserves because of who He is. And this is one explanation. I wish I could tell you where I found it, but it's something I wrote down a long time ago. It sits on my desk just to remind me every once in a while. I can't tell you where I got it from. I even Googled to see if I could find it, and I couldn't. But somebody said this somewhere, sometime, and that's this, that the fear of the Lord does not mean we walk around scared. It means we live our lives in such a way that we know who has the ultimate power. And I like that. Because why do we fear God? Because we know He has the ultimate power. It's not like we have to be scared necessarily, but it's we live our lives in such a way of honoring and respecting God because we know that He has the ultimate power. And certainly as we search for God's wisdom in His Word, we learn, we understand why God is to be feared because of who He is and what we learn about Him in the Word. And as we fear God, we find the knowledge of God, and not just intellectual knowledge, but knowledge that implies a relationship that we have with Him. And that relationship continues to grow and develop deeper and deeper. I trust you can see how fear and knowledge go hand in hand, don't they? Because the more we fear God, the more we want to know God, the more we know God, the more we fear Him. They just feed each other, and that's how it should be in our lives. And such knowledge and fear will change us. It will change how we view sinning against God. It will change our view and desire for obedience to the one that we know has ultimate power and control. And then notice in verse 6, where it says that the Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from God. We need to see it. And as in other things in our Christian life that we know come from God, like salvation, it requires diligence on our part. We have to pursue wisdom, but ultimately, who is it that gives it? It's God that gives it to us. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. People look for wisdom in a lot of different places in our world, don't they? But ultimately, what we see is wisdom comes from the Word of God, and Word is it's a gift that God gives to us. And then verses 7 and 8, we see that wisdom is a layer of protection from God. It says He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. I don't know, if you think about that for a little bit, where it says that He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. It's like God has this storehouse of wisdom that He wants to give to us. He's not hoarding it, but it says that He stores it up. And from the previous verse, He stores it up so that He can give it to us. And then we see that it says that He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. And I think in this context, what it's saying is that the wisdom He gives is what is the shield to protect us. That wisdom's a layer of protection from God. And think about how that works, okay? We go through life, and we have to be making decisions. We have to decide, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I associate with this person? Do I associate with this person? And God will give wisdom to help us know what we should do. And if we follow that wisdom, it will protect us sometimes from evil people, from wrong decisions. And sometimes I'm sure you can look back in your life and say, boy, I'm sure glad I follow what, you know, God's direction there, because I could see where it could have taken me. Or the other hand, you can say, you know, that time in my life I didn't follow God's direction and look what happened. But God gives his wisdom as a layer of protection to help us make right choices and follow the right ways. And then verses 9 to 11, we continue to see this treasure that is given to us if we pursue it. If you look back in chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 2, Solomon gives us the purpose for the book of Proverbs. And he says the purpose is to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And I just read that passage because as we in chapter 2, we see that's exactly what Solomon is saying will happen if we will pursue wisdom. Because notice in verse 9, it says, then you will understand righteousness. You will understand what is right. You will understand, it says, justice. You'll understand what needs to be done. What needs to be done to enable peace. You'll understand equity, what is fair. And then you'll understand every good path, the good way to go. And why is that true? Why is it that if we treasure wisdom and seek after it, that we will then understand these different areas of life, righteousness, justice, and equity, and every good path? It says in verse 10, because wisdom will take up residence in your heart. It says wisdom will come to your heart. Why? Well, God puts it there, back to verse 6, right? And it's then what comes out of our heart. God puts that wisdom in our heart, and then that's what comes out of our heart as we live life and as we make decisions. I was reminded this week, you know, in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus is talking. He's talking specifically about the wicked hearts of the Pharisees. And he said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the mouth come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. I don't know about you, but those really aren't the things I want to come out of my heart, though I know they are sometimes. But here, as we look in Proverbs, instead of those kinds of things coming out of our heart, those evil things, what Solomon is saying is if we will pursue wisdom and apply it, then out of our hearts, instead of those evil things, out of our hearts will come righteousness and justice and equity and the good path that we should follow. And that is what will honor God. And I trust that as we think about that, that's certainly what we want for our lives. And then verse 10 continues. It says, wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Knowledge will be pleasant. Some translate that knowledge will bring pleasure to your soul. You think about all the different pleasures we seek in life. Is wisdom one of those pleasures? Do we find pleasure in the wisdom of God in our life? That's what Solomon is saying, that if we seek after wisdom, then we will find pleasant knowledge to be pleasant in our soul. It will bring us pleasure. So wisdom is a matter of the heart. It's not just an intellectual attainment, something, you know, that we just know, but it's something that permeates our being. It impacts what we think and how we act and what we value and what we find to be pleasant, to bring pleasure to us. And we have to ask ourselves this morning, what comes out of our heart? What is it that brings us pleasure? And does God's wisdom bring that, come from our heart and bring us pleasure today? And then in verse 11, it says that you will have discretion. It says discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. You'll live life in such a way that people who observe you might actually call you a wise person. Someone who is instinctively wise. They just know what to do. They know how to act. They know what to say. It identifies our character because of the understanding that we have and the discernment that we have from God's Word. In Solomon's good days, that's how he was identified, wasn't it? He was identified as a wise man, a person who instinctively knew what to do because God had given him great wisdom to rule the land of Israel. Some have, when they talk about the book of Proverbs, they talk about wisdom, they say wisdom is knowing how to live life skillfully. It's taking the knowledge and the truth of God's Word and being able to have discernment, to know how to apply that truth and to live life skillfully. And that's what God grants to those who diligently search for His wisdom. And I trust if you think about that, this is quite the treasure chest that we have available to us as God's people, to know that we have the wisdom of God that will give to us all these things. And then we come to verses 12 to 19, which we can identify as the application of wisdom. Let me read these verses for us. Because so remember, if you do this, verses 1 to 4, then you will benefit. You will have these things. The wisdom will come to you. And then how do you apply it? Well, it talks about two specific things here. First, verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. And then the second deliverance, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So two specific things that are talked about here about the deliverance, how we can apply wisdom to be delivered. And the first thing is that we are delivered from men of perverse speech. And in this context, it can be women of perverse speech too, okay? It's not, but, you know, Solomon's talking to his son who will specifically be involved in situations where he's, you know, seeking counsel from men. And obviously that didn't go very well for Rehoboam, did it, later on in his life. But it says, to deliver you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. In other words, if we apply wisdom, we'll be able to recognize when evil is coming, and our action will be, get away from it, stay away from those people. Notice how these men are described. They forsake, verse 13, they forsake the paths of uprightness so that they can walk in the ways of darkness. They rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness, the crookedness, the twistedness of evil. Their paths are crooked. Their ways are devious. Hopefully you read through that and say, you know, these should be people I want to stay away from. These are people I don't want to hang out with. These are people who will lead me down the wrong path, and it won't be good. And what Solomon is telling his son, and what we now have inspired in God's Word for us to follow, is the wisdom that says, if you will seek after God's wisdom, He will give you that discernment and that help to be able to identify those evil people who have perverted speech, who only want to get you into trouble and away from God and to, you know, go down the wrong path. So we want to be people who are wise, who follow wisdom's direction here. And then the second area of deliverance that we have is deliverance from the forbidden woman and her smooth words. The word forbidden in some translations will be foreign, but basically what it's saying, the woman is forbidden, the woman is foreign, because it's not one that you should be pursuing. She's not yours. She's somebody else's. And it says, you know, notice how this woman is described. And again, this could be a man being described here. It says, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. Companion of her youth would be her husband in this context. And forgets the covenant of her God. And probably in this context is talking about the marriage covenant that is that she took on when she was married. And now she is forgetting in the sense of, you know, ignoring it, saying, I don't have to follow that. And she's not walking, she's not honoring the marriage commitment that she had made. And this what is being talked about here in just a short form is so important that Solomon takes three more Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, to develop this theme even more. You can look at that at some other time when you can. But notice how it talks about her smooth words. About her smooth words, the end of verse 16. We use the word sweet talk, maybe. You know, she's trying to get you to do something and has the way to talk to you that makes you fall for it. And she's out to ruin you. And Solomon is saying that if you will apply the Word of God, the wisdom of God to your life, you will have the discernment to stay away from that kind of a situation. Not to fall for the woman that is not yours, from the adulteress, the one who is trying to smooth talk you into something that will be devastating for your life. Because notice what happens. It says in verse 18, her house sinks down to death. And who goes with her? You do, if you follow her. Her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Certainly a stern warning of something that we need to stay away from, and wisdom will help us to make the right decisions with that. And as you look at this passage here, do you recognize the reference to speech in this passage? We have to think about whose words are we going to listen to here. It talks about the perverted words of the, you know, in verse 12, the men of perverted speech. It talks about the forbidden woman, the adulteress with her smooth words. And then back in verse 1, Solomon said, receive my words. And what were those words? Well, the words of wisdom, the words that we understand to be God's words. See, a benefit of wisdom is, if applied, it will deliver us from the evil, deceptive, perverse people who are using enticing words to draw us in. And instead, we are to listen to God's words. We are to listen to God's wisdom. We are to make our ear attentive to God's wisdom. And so we have to ask the question, whose words will you listen to? Will you listen to God's words, or will you listen to the words of evil men, adulterous women? Whose words will we listen to? And then we come to verses 20 to 22, the sort of the conclusion of the matter. Because it says, so if you do this, if you pursue wisdom, then you will have this treasure that you can then apply in these situations. And then it says, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So if we will listen and apply, there is great hope. And we see, first of all, the promise that you will stay on the right way that honors God. You will avoid the wrong kind of people. You'll have the right companions. You'll have discernment to make the right choices. And you'll stay on the path that honors God. And certainly that is what we should desire. And if we see ourselves getting off that path, we repent and we get back in the way of wisdom, following after God's ways. And the promise in verse 21, and this we'll think especially, first of all, of the Israelites who are receiving this firsthand from Solomon. It says, "You, the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it." Again, if you know Old Testament history, you know how important the land was to Israel. It was everything. That was their possession. That was their gift from God. And Solomon is saying, if you will follow the way of wisdom, you will inherit you will inhabit the land, and you'll be able to stay in the land because of the integrity that you have, because of your wisdom. Didn't go very well for Israel, did it? Unfortunately, they did not follow that. Even Solomon later on did not follow his own advice. And because of that, they were cut off from the land for a time. By God's grace, he's going to put a heart of wisdom back into these people to bring them back. But he says, if you will follow my way, this is what will happen. And, for us, I think it just means that if we will apply wisdom to our life, we will enjoy the blessings of being on the path of wisdom. That doesn't mean everything's great. But we don't have challenges, but we will have the discernment and the help from God to handle life as we should. And so we need to consider, whose words are we going to follow? Because whose words we follow will impact where we end up, with God's blessing or possibly with the judgment of the wicked, as we come to that last verse, the contrast. But the wicked will be cut off from the land. The wicked, men of perverse speech, the women of smooth words who walk in their own perverse, deceptive ways, they're cut off from the land. They're rooted out of it. They do not have the blessing of God in their life. So, what are you searching for? What do you invest time in? Proverbs is saying, Solomon is saying to us, if we search, we will find God's wisdom. God will give it to us. And if we search, we will understand that wisdom so that we can apply it to our lives. So searching for wisdom, understanding the fear of the Lord, finding the knowledge of God is indeed a search of greatest value, a search worth investing in, a search that results in great benefits and even an eternal reward. So we have to ask the question, is it worth the effort? Is it worth the effort? And I trust we can say, yes, it is worth the effort to invest in finding God's treasure of wisdom. So then we have to ask, well, if it's worth the effort, what are you doing to apply that? What do you need to do this week so that you are characterized as someone that Solomon describes in verses 1 to 4? Someone who is receiving the Word of God. Someone who is treasuring up the commandments. Someone who is making their ear attentive to wisdom. Someone who is inclining their heart to understand. Someone who's calling out for help and for insight. Someone who's seeking it as they would seek for silver or for hidden treasure. What can you do this week to implement some of those things? It may mean that you have to change some of your habits and do some things, make some things a priority that you haven't to this point. That you need to be praying for God's help in applying His Word to your life situations. Maybe you have a decision you have to make this week and you need God's wisdom. How are you going after looking for or asking for God's wisdom? Are you praying about it? Are you reading His Word and seeking maybe counsel even for direction on what you should do? Because again, it comes down, whose words are you going to listen to? And I think it's appropriate as we bring this to a close to think just for a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in a context where the foolishness of man's wisdom is being contrasted to God's wisdom. Now, man is, of course, saying that God's wisdom is foolish. But here, Paul is talking about that. And he concludes that chapter by saying, because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom. You are in Christ Jesus, who, Jesus Christ, became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God's greatest display of wisdom to us is in Jesus Christ, His Son, who He sent to this earth so that He would die on the cross for our sins, so that we who were unrighteous, Christ became our righteousness. We who were set apart to sin and folly, Christ became our sanctification. And the way by which we could be, He became our sanctification, the way that we could be set apart to God. And we who were following a course of sin and eternal destruction, Christ redeemed us. He bought us with His blood so that we would no longer, if we accept by faith the gift of salvation, we would no longer be on that road of eternal destruction, but could have the hope of eternal life. And I trust that we have all accepted that gift of God's wisdom, Jesus Christ, that we've repented of our sin and have accepted the gift of salvation that God provides for us. And if not, please talk to one of us. We would love to interact with you about that today. But we have talked today about a search of greatest value, the search for the wisdom of God so that we can apply it to our lives and live life skillfully, live life in a way that brings honor to the Lord. And I trust that that's the search that you are on today. If not, make some changes and look into God's Word and search diligently for His ways. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank You that You have made available to us Your wisdom. Lord, this is not something that we have to wonder where it's at. You have given us the location. It's in Your Word. And Father, I pray that we would be people who diligently seek after Your Word. And Lord, that we would be people who then, as we understand wisdom and the fear of the Lord, that we would then apply it to our lives so that we would live in ways that honor You and that bring honor and glory to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.